Amen. All right, well, we're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And tonight, I am preaching a sermon on the subject of gossip. And I'm preaching on the subject of the sin of gossiping, or the sin of gossip. And, you know, I want to start off by talking about the fact that gossip is something that has the potential of affecting all of us. Often we, you know, there's lots of jokes out there about, you know, gossip being something that women struggle with, but it's really something that all of us struggle with. And the Bible highlights that. Now, it does highlight the fact that women could struggle. You're there in 1 Timothy 5. Look at verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and verse 13. The Bible says, "And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle," I want you to notice these words, "but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." The Bible says that here you can have a woman who is idle, and it says that they are tattlers and busybodies, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Now, what does that mean? What do those words mean? The word tattler there means a person who tells secrets or tells tales. Now, I want you to remember that, because we're going to look at that throughout the scriptures tonight as we look at this idea of gossiping. The word busybody means this, according to the dictionary: a person who pries into or meddles in the affairs of others. And you know, you ought to really consider yourself. Is this something, is this definition something that could define myself? Could I be defined as someone who pries into, who tries to get people's personal information, you know, information about their past, who meddles into the affairs of others? Am I someone who then takes that information and tells secrets or tells tales? And because if those definitions would define you, then you are a gossip. You are someone who's maybe struggling with the sin of gossiping. And the Bible here is telling us about these women, that they are tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. You're there in chapter 5, so just a couple of chapters over. And do me a favor, put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there in 1 Timothy. We're going to leave those books and come back towards 1st, 2nd Timothy, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. So just make sure you can get back there quickly. But go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 11. Here we have a verse dealing with the wives of a deacon. We know that a deacon holds a ministry position, and his wife even is to have some characteristics. And in 1 Timothy 3:11, the Bible says this: "Even so must their wives be grave," meaning they should be serious. Notice what it says: "not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things." So the Bible tells us that the wife of a man in ministry should be grave, and then it says, "not slanderers." Now, what does it mean to slander? Here's the definition, the dictionary definition of slander: a malicious, false, or injurious to reputation statement or report. So when you make a statement or you give a report that is meant to be malicious, meant to be false, meant to be something that would injure somebody's reputation. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. You're there in 1 Timothy. Just flip a few pages to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now let me say this. The Bible definitely highlights the fact that women may struggle with this idea of gossip. And, you know, lots of jokes are made about women gossiping and things like that. But, you know, the Bible also will show us in Scripture that this is something that men can also struggle with. And men, you know, can struggle with gossip as much as women do. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 11. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Notice what the Bible says: "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all." Notice what it says. It's talking about men. "Working not at all, but are busybodies." Now again, what's a busybody? A person who pries, a person who meddles, a person who gets into the affairs or the history of somebody else to try to get information in order to be able to tell a tale, in order to be able to tell those things. So we see that not only do women could potentially struggle with gossip, but men can struggle with gossip. And for this reason, and like I said, keep your place there in 1 2 Timothy, 1 2 Thessalonians. Go with me real quickly to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 19. At the beginning of the Old Testament, you've got the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 19, and look at verse 16. Now, again, ask yourself, am I an individual who is trying to pry, who's trying to get, who's trying to meddle, who's trying to find information, information that I don't need, information about someone's past, and my individual who, when they get that information, goes and tells people about it, you know, tattles about it, tells the secrets. If that describes you, then you are a gossip. And, you know, this sermon's for you. I'm trying to help you. I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. Because here's the thing. All of us can struggle with gossip at some point or another. And we see that women can struggle with it. We see that men can struggle with it. And this is why God just, in general, commands us to abstain from the sin of gossip. Are you there in Leviticus 19? Notice what God said to his people. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down. Because that's what usually a gossip does. They go up and down. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Again, what's it mean to be a talebearer? A person who spreads. Here's the definition of a talebearer. A person who spreads gossip or secrets that may cause trouble or harm. So what's a talebearer? Someone that spreads secrets. Someone that spreads gossip. Someone that goes around giving information that may cause trouble or harm. What did God tell his people? He said, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. So we can see from these verses, as we just kind of get into the introduction, that gossip is not something that God wants any of his people to be a part of, male or female. He commands for all of us to stay away from gossip and to stay away. But the question is this, you know, and this is the first question I want to answer tonight, is what is gossip? Because, you know, a lot of people, I believe, maybe don't even understand what gossip is, what it means to be a talebearer or a tattler or a busybody, or probably more accurate is that people who are gossips will often, you know, hide their gossip and try to make it seem like it's not gossip. So I want to answer for you tonight. What is gossip? I'm going to answer several questions in regards to gossip and the sin of gossip. We'll begin with this question. What is gossip? Now keep your place there in the T-books and go with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 11. If you open your Bible right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Right after the book of Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 11. And let's just quickly look at some verses from Proverbs that define a gossip, define these things for us, and then I'm going to give you some definitions, and maybe you can write these down so that you can, you know, so that you can identify for yourself, so you don't get sucked into being a gossip. Maybe you can write these things down and have them somewhere, and you can, when someone comes to you, you can quickly look and say, is this gossip? Is this something? Am I being a partaker in the sin of talebearing or being a tattler or a busybody? Proverbs 11, look at verse 13. Proverbs 11, 13. Notice what he says. A talebearer revealeth secrets. A talebearer revealeth secrets. Now, didn't we see that as one of the definitions of a busybody, someone who reveals secrets? The Bible says that a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, again, when we're talking about this, we're talking about things that nobody needs to know about. Things that are maybe are in someone's past that no one needs to understand or be aware of. Go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, look at verse 9. Proverbs 17, and we're going to be flipping through the book of Proverbs a lot tonight, and we're actually going to come back to a lot of these same verses and focus on other parts of the verse when we come back to it. Proverbs 17, 9. Proverbs 17 and verse 9 says this, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Notice what the Bible says, but he that repeateth a matter, he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So what does it mean to be a gossip? It means someone that reveals secret. It's someone who repeats a matter. Someone who repeateth a matter. Go to Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. Look at verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer, notice what it says, revealeth secrets. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Look at verse 9. It's just a flip a few pages over. Proverbs 25 and verse 9. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs 25, 9. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. Notice what the Bible says. And discover not a secret to another. And discover not a secret to another. So, after looking at those verses, we're going to come back and reference those. But let's answer this question. What is gossip? What is gossip? Well, number one, here's how you can identify whether something is gossip, all right? It is gossip. If you're looking at some information and you're wondering, am I partaking here in gossip? Am I partaking in being a busybody, a tattler, a talebearer? And I'm not sure, how can I discern that? How can I identify that? Well, it is gossip if the issue you are discussing has already been dealt with by those who are affected by it or by those who have authority over it. Now, I want you to remember these terms. Does it affect me? Or do I have authority over it? Does it affect me, or do I have authority over it? You can be sure that you are revealing secrets. You can be sure that you are repeating a matter. You can be sure that you're going about as a talebearer, revealing secrets, discovering secrets, you know, discovering a secret and making things known. When you are talking about an issue that has already been dealt with by those who are affected by it or by those that have authority over it. Now, I want to give you some examples tonight just to help you kind of, put these principles around a specific example. And let me just say this right off front. The examples I'm going to give you, I'm specifically giving you these examples because they're not anything that we're dealing with in our church, all right? There are vain people who think that everything I say is about them. You know, every sermon I preach, every illustration is about them. And, you know, I just want to be clear. I'm using these examples because we're not dealing with this in our church. I don't know of anybody dealing with this in our church. But I just want to help you understand, you know, what is gossip. So it is gossip if the issue you are discussing has already been dealt with by those who are affected by it or by those who have authority over it. Here's an example. Let's say someone in our church is actively committing adultery. Now, I don't know of anybody in our church committing adultery. I pray no one ever in our church commits adultery. But let's just say someone in our church is actively committing adultery, and I find out about it. It's not gossip for me to go to the spouse of that individual, the husband of that individual, the wife of that individual, and let them know that, hey, your spouse is committing adultery. Here's the proof. All right? That's not gossip. You say, why? Because I'm going to the spouse that is being affected, or I'm going to the spouse that may or may not have authority in that situation, and I'm going to them to deal with an issue. This is gossip. If someone in our church is committing adultery and you go around and tell everybody in the church except the person that's being affected by it, do you understand that? It's not gossip when you go to the person that is affected by it or when you go to the person that has authority over it. It is gossip when you are talking about an issue that has already been dealt with by those who are affected by it or have authority. Let me say this. What if someone in our church maybe committed adultery in their past? Maybe, you know, they committed adultery and it came to light. Their spouse is aware of it. They've forgiven each other. They've gone through counseling, whatever it might be. You know, that issue has been dealt with, and that issue has been, you know, dealt with the people that were affected by it, with the people that had authority over it. But let's say that I find out about that. So then I go to church people, and I'm like, hey, did you know that brother so-and-so committed adultery 7 years ago? You know what that's called? That's called gossip. Because I'm revealing a secret. I'm telling people's business of things that have already been dealt with, that have already been affected. Now look, if a brother or a sister is actively committing adultery, then go to their spouse, you know, or come to me and we'll go to their spouse or whatever. But if it's something like that happened 7 years ago, that happened 5 years ago, that happened 20 years ago, but you just found out about it and then you're going to go and tell everybody, that's gossip. You're revealing secrets. You're a talebearer. You're a busybody. You are in sin. Okay, so what does it mean to gossip? Well, it's gossip if the issue you are discussing has already been dealt with by those who are either affected or have authority over it. But let me say this. It is also gossip if the issue you are discussing cannot be dealt with by you and you are not being affected by it. Because, you know, cannot be dealt with because of the fact that you're not affected by it or because of the fact that you don't have authority over it. So let's say there's a situation, it's not affecting you, it's not affecting your family, You don't have any authority to fix it or to do it. And then you go around and start telling people about it. That is gossip. Again, let me just give you an example. And look, these examples, none of these are happening in our church, which is why I'm using it. I just want to make sure people understand that. Because then there's all these videos. We were like, Pastor Menace was talking about this. I'm like, good night. All right. Let's say there's a problem with our teenagers. You know, a problem within teenagers. You know, they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. They're, you know, in sin or whatever. And you find out about it. And you go around and tell the whole church. But you don't have a teenage child. You don't even have children. You know, it's not affecting you. It's not hurting you. It's not in your authority scope. You can't go. Look, that's gossip. Now, look, let's say there's a problem with the teenagers, and you've got a teenaged child, a son or a daughter, and it's affecting you now because, you know, these kids are going to be around your kids. Then you can go deal with it. Why? Because it's affecting you. Because it falls under your authority. But here's what you need to understand. When we have information that doesn't affect us, it doesn't hurt us, there's nothing we can do about it. It happened 20 years ago. It's been dealt with. It's been done with. And it's not affecting me. I have no authority over it. When you discuss those things, the Bible would say that you are a talebearer that revealeth secrets. It would say that you are a person that repeateth a matter. It would say that you are a person that would go about to discover a secret to another. Let me give you another principle. We talked about when it is gossip. When is it gossip? It is gossip if you are talking about an issue that has already been dealt with by those who are affected by it or by those that have authority over it. It is gossip when you're talking about an issue that doesn't affect you, and you have no authority over it. But let me say this. It is not gossip. It is not gossip when you are telling someone that is affected by it or when you are telling someone that's an authority over it about it. Do you understand what I just said? You find out that there's some teenager in our church who's smoking pot, and I hope there's never a teenager in our church smoking pot. I don't think there's any teenagers in our church. Our teenagers are pretty godly and pretty smart, all right? But you find out there's some teenager in our church smoking pot, and you go to their dad, and you say, hey, I just want to let you know, my daughter told me that your daughter is smoking pot. My teenage boy told me that your teenage boy is smoking pot. That's not gossip. You say, why? Because it's affecting you, and you go to the person that has authority over it. You find out that there's some teenager in our church smoking pot, and you go to everybody except that family and say, did you know that he's smoking pot? That is gossip. Do you understand what I'm saying? The rules are, does it affect me or do I have authority over it? Does it affect me or do I have authority over it? It is not gossip when you are telling someone that is affected by it or when you are telling someone that has authority over it about the situation. Let me say this. When you are speaking to a pastor or maybe my wife, you know, in a counseling setting or you're seeking counsel or you're wondering about, you know, what should I do in this situation and you give us details, that's not gossip. You're not gossiping when you're trying to solve a problem, when you're trying to get the help, when you're trying to resolve a matter. So, you know, what is gossip? Again, the terms that I want you to understand is, does it affect me? Do I have authority over it? Does it affect me? Do I have authority over it? It is gossip. When it doesn't affect me, I have no authority over it, and I'm just repeating a matter. It is gossip when it's already been dealt with by those that are affected by it, by those that have authority over it, and I'm just letting people know. It's not gossip when you're affected by it or when you go to the person that has the authority to fix it. So number two, I said number one, what is gossip? We're just answering the question, what is gossip? And I know that was kind of wordy, and I try not to make points that are too wordy, but I just want you to understand, you know, what is gossip and what is not gossip? And if you just remember anything, remember these two words. Does it affect me or do I have authority over it? Does it affect me or do I have authority over it? But number two, let's answer this question. What is wrong with gossip? Because some of you might say, well, like, I really like gossip. It's fun, you know, to sit there and talk about and learn about people. And, like, man, can you believe that they did that or they were into that? What's wrong with gossip? Go to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Look at verse 21. Proverbs 26 and verse 21. Proverbs 26 and verse 21. Because somebody might say, like, okay, Pastor, I understand that situation. I have no authority over it, and it doesn't affect me in any way. I understand that is gossip, but what's wrong with gossip? Is there anything wrong with gossip? Is there a problem with it? Well, go to Proverbs 26, look at verse 21. Proverbs 26, verse 21 says this, as coals are to burning coal and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Notice verse 22. The words of a talebearer. Now, what's a talebearer? Someone who tells secrets. Someone who tells tales. Someone who searches for information and then goes out and tells people about it. The words of a talebearer, notice, are as wounds. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You say, what's wrong with gossip? Here's what's wrong with gossip is that it hurts people. What's wrong with gossip is that it hurts people. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Let me please understand this, and please listen to what I'm about to say. It hurts people when something about their past, whether it's true or not, it may be true, but when something about their past is spread, whether it's true or not, it hurts people if it's already been dealt with. Now, again, I want you to understand, I'm not teaching tonight, you know, that we should be like the Catholic Church and hide sin under the rug and not deal with sin. Look, if people are in open sin, we need to deal with it. We need to, you know, confront it. We need to help them get it right. But I'm talking about, you know, someone went to prison 20 years ago. Someone did something, you know, 10 years ago, something in their past that maybe they'd be embarrassed about or they'd be ashamed. And you are just such a busybody, you were able to pick it out of them or pick it out of their wife or pick it out of someone they know. Look, it hurts people when something about their past that may be true, but it's already been dealt with. It's already been paid for. It's already been, you know, dealt with the people that are affected by it or that have authority, and then you go around and just spread it. It hurts people. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Not only does it hurt people when something about their past that may be true but has already been dealt with spreads, it also hurts people when something that's not even true is spread about them. See, that's where the slander comes in, where you're telling something about someone, and you're telling it as if it's true. And then it's like, well, where did you get that information? Well, so-and-so who told so-and-so, who told so-and-so, who read it on Facebook, who got it off a Twitter account, they said that it might be this. You know, that's called slander, okay? You're spreading something about someone as if it's true. You don't even know if it's true. It hurts people when something that is not true is spread about them. See, when gossip spread, it often cannot be taken back. Once you let it go, you often cannot return it. When I was a teenager, we used to have a pastor in our church. He was a youth pastor. We don't have youth pastors here, but you know, he was a youth pastor. And he would often preach to us about gossip and how it can hurt people and how you shouldn't gossip about people. And he would use this illustration. It stuck with me very well. He would talk about, like, you know, imagine you took one of those old down pillows. You know, the pillows that are filled with feathers? And you go down to old, you know, to downtown Sacramento, and you find the biggest building in the city, the biggest skyscraper, and you go up to the highest, you know, floor that they'll let you go up to, and you open up a window, and you take those feathers and just blow them into the air and just let it float out into the city. And then you take the elevator downstairs, and you try to pick those feathers. You're probably not going to get them. They're gone. And you know, when you allow things that are either untrue or maybe they're true, but they've already been dealt with, they're not under your authority, they don't affect you in any way, and you spread that, it's like trying to get those feathers back. You are railing against people, you're slandering people, and you can never get those back. You say, what's wrong with gossip? Gossip is wrong because it hurts people. Gossip is wrong because when things are spread about someone, even if they're true, if they've been dealt with, we shouldn't go around revealing those secrets. It's wrong because it hurts people when the things that are being spread about them are not true. And you know, when you hear things about people, you should be careful to not run with it. The Bible says, and Jesus taught, that we should treat our neighbors, that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus said that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And you know, if somebody was lying about you and spreading rumors about you that weren't true, or maybe things that were true, that were in your past, you've already paid for them, you've already confessed them, you've already dealt with, you know, what you would want is for someone to not sit there and listen to that and not sit there and spread it. And if you would want someone to do that for you, then you know what? You should do that for others. When people come to you with gossip, ask yourself, does this affect me? It doesn't affect me. Do I have authority over it? I have no authority over it. Then just, you know, ask yourself, would I want someone to listen to this if it were me? When you hear things, don't run with it, especially if you haven't verified it, especially if it's unverifiable, especially, you know, Jack Hobbs used to have a famous quote where he would say, anyone that will gossip to you will gossip about you. Anyone that will gossip to you will gossip about you. And you can sit there and have a grand old time gossiping about, oh, did you hear about her? Or did you hear about him? Or can you believe? But you know what? That same person is going to turn around and gossip about you. And if you would not want people to do that to you, if you would want someone to stand up for you and say, hey, wait a minute, that's not true. Or have you verified that? You can't just spread. If you would want someone to do that for you, then maybe you should do that for others. Gossip is not only wrong because it hurts people. Gossip is wrong because it hurts relationships. Gossip is wrong because it hurts relationships. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Look at verse number 28. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. The Bible says, a froward man soweth strife. Notice what the Bible says. And a whisperer separateth. And a whisperer separateth. Notice what it says. Chief friends. Go to Proverbs 17 and verse 9, just one chapter over. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Proverbs 17, 9 says, he that covereth his transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter, notice, separateth very friends. Say, what's wrong with gossip? What's wrong with gossip is that it hurts people. And what's wrong with gossip is that it hurts relationships. It hurts friendships. It hurts marriages. It hurts people when you spread things that are not true or when you spread things that you can't deal with, that are none of your business. When you're meddling in affairs of people that you have no control over, that don't affect you and you have no authority, you are being a busybody. You are inputting yourself into the affairs of people that you have no business getting into. And let me just say this, and I'm going to move on to a different point. Go to Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs 16. Actually, keep your finger in Proverbs 16 and go to Psalm 101. So keep your finger in Proverbs 16 and then go to Psalm 101, which is right before Proverbs. But let me say this. We talked about what's wrong with gossip and the fact that it hurts people and the fact that it hurts relationships. But let me just say this. Let me talk about the worst type of gossip. Like, if you're going to walk away from this sermon and say, you know what, Pastor, I don't care. I like to gossip. I'm going to continue to gossip. Then at least listen to what I'm about to say. Because the worst type of gossip, the worst kind of gossip, is the kind that leaves you speculating. When someone walks up to you and says, well, you know, I'm not going to say anything, but, you know, they're having problems in their marriage. And I don't want to give you any details, but you know, they're having some major issues there. And you know they're fighting about money, but you know what people are thinking? He's committing adultery. She must be committing adultery. You know what? Because when you leave people speculating, people will always assume the worst. Speculation never goes positive. Speculation never goes positive. When you're like, well, you know, I don't want to tell, you know, it's not my place to say anything, but let me tell you, there's some major sins in his life. And, you know, people are going to think like, what, does he have dead bodies in his basement? You know, is he like a serial killer? Good night. Why? Because speculation never goes positive. So you know what? If you don't have the liberty to give the details, then just don't bring it up at all. Because when you just say like, well, you know, I'm really struggling. They're really struggling. I don't want to give you, pray for them, brother. That's the spiritualized way. Let's pray for them. Look, there's a reason why we don't, you know, there's a reason why for the prayer sheets on Wednesday night, we make you write down the prayer requests. And then we're like the Holy Spirit that takes that and with groanings interprets it into something, you know, that we can actually put on the prayer sheet. Because you'd be shocked at some of the prayer requests that we get on the list. And it's like just giving a laundry of people's sins. And it's like, yeah, we're not going to put that. Pray for my husband, you know, or whatever. Pray for my mom. You know, it's like you're giving us all this list of their sins. You know, the worst type of gossip is this speculation. Well, I don't want to say anything, but you know, they're really. And you just, because here, you say, why? Because speculation never goes positive. People always assume the worst. You know? So if you look, if you're like, do me a favor, you know, if I steal money from this church, which I never have and I never will, I have no reason to, but if I steal money from this church, don't go around telling people like, well, you know, pastor's in major sin, okay? Because they're gonna think that like I'm cheating on my wife, all right? Just tell people he's stealing money, all right? You know, because when you just leave it out there, people will assume the worst. So be careful about that. If you're gonna gossip, at least just be clear and be like, no, let me tell you, here's what it is. Because when you leave it to speculation never goes positive. Let me give you one more thing in regards to what's wrong with gossip. Are you there in Proverbs 16? Look at verse 28. A froward man sowed strife, and a, notice this word, whisperer. And a whisperer separated chief friends. Go to Psalm 101, look at verse 5. Psalm 101:5 says this. Whoso privately, what's privately mean? Privately slandereth his neighbor. This is what God says. Him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer, or will not I allow. This is what the word suffer means. So you say, how can I identify if something's gossip? Or how can I understand if something's wrong? Well, here's the thing. It's wrong if it has to be done in secret. It's wrong if it has to be done privately. It's wrong if it has to be whispered. Now, if you're going to the person that's being affected, or you're going to the person in authority, then go to those people. There's nothing wrong with meeting with those people and telling them what's going on. But if you're like, well, you know, I really shouldn't be telling you this, but you should need to know that. And all of a sudden, it's like you're whispering in someone's ear. Look, just as a rule of thumb, understand this. Anything that you need to hide, anything that you need to whisper about, anything that you need to keep from people or keep out of the loop of people, just realize it's probably wrong. It's not right if you have to hide it. It's not right if you, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. If you got to hide it, if you got to whisper about it, if you got to go in some corner and let me tell you, but don't let anybody else know, it's probably wrong. So gossip is wrong because it's done in secret. Number three, go back to Proverbs chapter number 11. So we talked about what is gossip. What is gossip? It's when I'm talking about a situation that doesn't affect me and I have no authority over, either because it's already been dealt with by those that it does affect and those that have authority over it, or because it's something that can't be dealt with. It's just is what it is. But I don't need to reveal those secrets. I don't need to go and tell people that. We talked about what's wrong with gossip. It's wrong because it hurts people. It's wrong because it's wrong to talk about people and their past when they've already dealt with those sins. They've already dealt with those issues. It's wrong for you to go around and spread those things, you know, just because you were some busybody that figured it out or got it all put together. But let's say this. You know, here's question number three. How should we deal with gossip? Let's say someone comes to you with gossip, or let's say you are a gossip. How should we deal with it? What do you do about gossip? Well, let's talk about the gossip itself. How do you deal with it first? Proverbs 11, look at verse 13. Proverbs 11, verse 13. Actually, before you go, we read that, let me read this to you. How do we deal with gossip? Here's the statement. If you cannot deal with it, either because it's already been dealt with, or because it does not affect you, or it does not fall under your scope of authority. I know I'm giving you a lot of words there, but I want you to understand that. If you cannot deal with it, someone comes to you with gossip, and you think to yourself, okay, well, that doesn't affect me. That doesn't fall under the scope of my authority. That's already been dealt with or whatever. You say, what do I do with that? Simply, do not repeat it. Just shut up. Just because someone told you something doesn't mean you have to go and tell your closest five friends. Or post it on Facebook, or whatever it might be. And by the way, this is a major thing that people will do on Facebook. They do it to their own spouses. Pray for my husband. He's in major sin. You know, I'm fasting, and will other people fast? And it's like, yeah, but can you tell us what's going on? You know, I can't. Well, then don't even bring it up. Because speculation always goes negative. But, you know, look at Proverbs 11. Look at verse 13. If you cannot deal with it, either because it's already been dealt with, because it doesn't affect you, or it's not under the scope of your authority, then simply don't repeat it. Proverbs 11, 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. That's the gossip. But But here's the contrast. He that is of a faithful spirit, notice, concealeth the matter. Now again, we're not talking about hiding sin here. We're not talking about putting sin, you know, sweeping it under the rug. And we're talking about a matter that's already been dealt with, something that I have no authority over, something that doesn't affect me. Hey, you know what a faithful person does? They just conceal the matter. They just say, you know what? I know that about them. I shouldn't know that about them. And I'm just never going to tell anybody about that. You say, why would you do that? Because you don't want to be a gossip. Because you don't want to hurt people. Go to Proverbs 17. Look at verse 9. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Proverbs 17, 9. Proverbs 17, 9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. So what does a person do that's seeking love? When they have information, they came about information that could hurt someone, something that they have no, it doesn't affect them, they don't have authority over, it's already been dealt with, there's nothing to do with it. What does that person do? What that person does is they cover a transgression. You say, why? Because they seek love. You say, how do you deal with gossip? Well, if you cannot deal with it, either because it's already been dealt with or because it doesn't affect you, and it doesn't fall under your scope of authority, then simply leave it alone. Don't repeat it. Cover that transgression. You know, conceal that matter. But let's say this. What if it's something that you can deal with? What if it's something that does affect you? What if it's something that you do have authority over it? What do you do? Well, go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Look at verse 9. Proverbs 25 and verse 9. Proverbs 25, 9. How do we deal with gossip? Well, if you can deal with it because it affects you, because you have authority over it, what do? Here's what you do. You go to the person who it's about or to the authority that can deal with it. Look at Proverbs 25, 9. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. It doesn't say go and tell your closest five friends. It doesn't say, go put it on Twitter. It doesn't say, go post it on Facebook. He says, look, if there's a problem, there's an issue, you become aware of it, there's a problem, it's affecting you, it falls under your authority. You say, what do I do? Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another. So I came across information, you know, what do I do with it? Does it affect you? Yes. Is it under your scope of authority? Yes. Then go to that person and deal with it. But you don't have to go and discover a secret to another. Because the moment you go out of the realm of, does it affect me or does it fall under my authority, you just entered into gossip. And let me just say this, because I want to make sure people understand, we're not talking about sweeping sin under the rug, all right? The Bible, and I don't have time to develop this, so I'm just going to explain this to you. You can study it out on your own. The Bible talks about lots of different sins, and the Bible uses this term, a sin worthy of death. A sin worthy of death. And what that means is that there are some sins that, by God's economy, by God's, you know, laws, deserve the death penalty. Now, we don't live in that society. So we don't put people to death that God would put people to death. Okay? Do you understand that? But here's the thing. If it's a sin worthy of death, if someone comes to you and says, man, I just found out that this child's being molested, but, you know, pastor said it doesn't affect me and it doesn't fall under my authority, so I guess I won't say anything. That's not what we're talking about. Say, well, what do I do? You go to the cops. Why? Because they're the authority we live under to deal with such matters. That's not gossip. Do you understand what I'm saying? If it's a sin worthy of death, if there's someone who's raping or molesting or killing, you know, go to the authority. Now, let me be clear. If someone's smoking pot, I'm not going to the cops for that. Okay? Even if someone is stealing, if it's something monetary, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 that we should judge things within our own church. But when you cross the line into things that are worthy of death, when people are being hurt physically, molested, abused, wives are being, beat or whatever. When it comes to those things, we go to the authority. And by the way, just to be clear, if I ever know of somebody molesting children, you know, hurting people, You're in the wrong church. There's no recovery program. There's no, we're trying to help you. We're going to call the cops. Okay? Because that's worthy of death. Because you deserve to die. Because any grown man that molests a child or a grown woman that molests a child should die. You know, and you say, well, you don't have the authority to put him down. Yeah, but you know what? I wish they would all just do us a favor and blow their brains out. Amen. It would just help our society so much if all these people, you say, I'm attracted to children. Then just do us all a favor and kill yourself. Amen. Because those people are worthy of death. You know, and you say, well, what do? You call the cops. You call the authority. You go to those that have the authority to do something about it. Let me say this. If it's a sin worthy of being kicked out of church, because aren't there sins that will kick you out of church? Fornication, drunkenness, you know, railer, causing division, spreading false heresies. If it's a sin that is worthy of being kicked out of church, you say, what do? You go to the authority. You know, in this church, you're looking at them. You go to the pastor and say, hey, this person's living in sin. This person's doing this. And look, I've had many people come to me and say, hey, you know, this person's doing X, Y, and Z. And you say, what do? I look into it. And if it's true, we throw them out. It's not gossip to go to the pastor. You say, well, you have been gossiping to the pastor. No, when it's sins worthy of being thrown out of church, you go to your authority leader. Amen. Now, look, if you're going to go to the pastor and say, did you know that brother so-and-so shows up late to work every day? Okay, look, that may be gossip, all right? But, you know, that I'm not going to throw someone out of church for that, all right? But if it's something that's worthy being thrown out of church, then go to the authority, whether it's the police, or the pastor, whatever it might be. You know, if it's worthy of death, go to the cops. If it's worthy of being thrown out of church, come to me. And I've had people come to me and say, hey, you know, did you know that? And I'm just like, thanks for telling me. Because that's what there's, and by the way, that's not snitching, okay? We're trying to protect our church. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. And if you're living in sin, and we, you know, sins that'll get you kicked out of church, and we find out about it, we'll throw you out. Say, well, aren't you trying to grow a church? Never have I made the statement that our number one goal is to grow this church. Our number one goal is to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's to follow the Bible. It's to do what God says. So look, if you can deal with it, if it affects you, if it falls under your authority, go to the individual and deal with it. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another. If it's something that's worthy of death or being worthy of thrown out of church, then go to the authority, whether it's the police, whether it's a pastor, whatever it might be. That's how you deal with God. But if it's something, you know, I just found out about something someone did, you know, 20 years ago, and it's been dealt with, then you just leave that alone. You cover that. You cover that, you conceal the matter, you cover the transgression, seeketh love. Now, if you find out that 20 years ago they molested somebody, you come tell me, all right? You come tell somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to give people a kind of thoughts, because people get these crazy, because you get up and preach against gossip, and then they're like, man, you know, I didn't tell you about this, because, and it's like, man, that's a big deal. I needed to know that, you know? So I just want to make sure people understand. So how do you deal with gossip? That's how you do it. Let's talk about how do you deal with gossips, the person. You know, what do gossips, because maybe you're here tonight and you're like, man, he's describing me. I'm constantly trying to get people's personal information, background information. Well, we're, you know, it's like some of you are like professional investigators. Like, you know, your conversations consist of fill out this application and where your addresses of where you've lived in the last 15 years. And, you know, where were you on the night of or whatever, you know, JFK got assassinated. It's like a wasn't even born yet, you know? You know, whatever. Hey, you know, maybe that's you. Maybe you have the tendency to kind of pry a little too much, ask inappropriate questions, try to find out people, you know, about people's business. You say, what do you do? Well, go back to 1 Timothy 5. Remember, that's where we started, 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5, we're almost done. 1 Timothy 5, look at verse 13. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. Why do people gossip? Well, according to the Bible, there's basically one reason why people gossip. It's one reason. They have too much time on their hands. 1 Timothy 5, 13. Excuse me. 1 Timothy 5, 13. And withal, they, notice these words, learn to be idle. They learn to be idle. What's it mean to be idle? It means you're not doing anything. When your car is idling, you're not going anywhere. They learn to be idle. Wandering about from house to house. Today, it's, you know, wandering about from Facebook page to Facebook page. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies. speaking things which they ought not. So it's not things that they should go deal with. It's things that they should not be talking about. You say, well, what's the solution? Verse 14, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You say, what's the solution? Stay busy so you're not a busybody. Get busy so you're not just doing things and getting into people. Look, when you're busy and you're distracted and you're working hard, then you don't have time to go figure out what brother so-and-so was doing 10 years ago or what sister so-and-so was doing 15 years ago. Hey, the problem is if you're the one that's being described as a busybody, it's because you got too much time on your hands. And you need to get to work. You need to just go find something to do. Go work somewhere. I'm not talking about ladies. I'm not talking about getting a job. I'm saying you need to keep yourself busy. Do something for your family. Do something for your children. Do something for God, whatever. And make sure you're not just having all this idle time where you just have time to go to people's houses and find out about them and go tell everybody. You say, what about a man? What about a man who's struggling with God, with being a gossip? Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's funny because the solution is basically the same one, just tailored for a man. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. That's the problem. Look, when a man is working not at all, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the only problem. Working not at all, but they sure have time, but are busybodies. Man, they sure have time to get into people's personal information, make videos, make sure everybody knows about people's past. Working not at all, but are busybodies. Verse 12, now them that are such command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with, notice what he says, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. See, the problem with gossips is this, they just got too much time on their hands. You say, if you're a man, what should you do? Go get a job. You say, I got a job, I still gossip. Go get another one. You got too much time on your hands. You say, I'm a woman and I gossip. What should I do? Work. Get to work. Do something. Stay busy. Don't just be idle, wandering about from house to house. Now, let me just say a couple of things. I want to answer, things. Sometimes people don't understand the way I make decisions, and I'm not saying that I make all the right decisions. I'm not here to tell you that everything I do is right. I'm just going to tell you what I do. And I've thought a lot about this over the years as a pastor, and I've actually spent time in prayer about it. I spent time in counsel with other pastors and kind of asking them, how do you deal with this, or how would you do this? I've talked to my wife about it and, tried to see what she thought. And I just want you guys to understand, how things work here at Verity Baptist Church. When we have issues with people in our church and they end up leaving, look, I never want to attack those people publicly or make them feel bad. And here's the reason why. Because I want them to be able to come back. Amen. We have people, look, I don't think, people don't understand it because you go to a church with 150 people in it and you don't even know everybody or whatever. People come and go all the time. There are people coming and there are people going. And there are people coming and there are people going. And sometimes people are going and coming back and going and coming back. And look, we want to make them feel welcome that they can come back. We try to call, just this week, I was on the phone with somebody saying like, hey, we love you. We want you to come back. Feel free to come back anytime you want. That's the way we want to deal with it. That's the way we always try to deal with it. And we have people leave all the time that you never even know. People come to me like, man, have you noticed so-and-so hasn't been in church? And I'm like, so-and-so hasn't been in church in like 8 months. You just notice now. But, we don't talk about it. We don't want to make them feel, bad. But here's the thing. When people, and again, this is a decision I've made. It may be the wrong decision. I'm just telling you, it's the decision I've made. When people choose to leave this church and they choose to publicly attack us, you say, what do you mean by that? I mean, they're calling people around. Lying about us, saying, oh, well, they're lying about this or they're lying, this and that. Trying to pull people out of church. When they're making phone calls, when they're sending text messages, when they're making emails, when they're making psychotic YouTube videos, when they're doing those things, then you know what? We deal with it publicly because if you don't deal with it, then people just assume they're right. You know, but you know, if you're like, well, I don't know that you should deal with these things publicly, I would encourage you, everyone that we've ever had to publicly throw out or I've had to deal with in a public matter, I would encourage you to go back and see who made the phone calls first, who sent the text messages first, who made the videos first, because that's always been the way, that's always we do it. So look, I'm just trying to warn you, if you get mad at me and leave, just leave. But if you want to try to split the church, then I'm going to try to make sure that people understand what's going on. So you say, you know, why do you deal with things publicly? Because when people deal with them publicly first, then we deal with it. But let me say this. I also have this position. The position I have is that somebody attacks me personally, lies about me, that has nothing to do with the church, you know, or my... Obviously, if someone's lying about me and saying, like, hey, Pastor Jimenez is committing adultery, I'm going to defend myself, right? Because that affects my position here as a pastor. But if somebody's just lying, making videos about, you're short, you know, you're just things that have nothing to do with anything, I just choose to not respond to them. And look, there's like 100 videos right now on YouTube that I could point to and say, I didn't respond to that, I didn't respond to this, that's a lie, I didn't deal with it. But here's, and look, and I understand you may not agree with me, this is just how I feel about it. When someone chooses to attack, to personally attack our church people, I will deal with it. And I will defend them. And I know that some of you feel like, yeah, but if you just didn't talk about it, it'd go away. But you know what? If I were the church member here and someone was lying about me just simply because I'm a member here, I would want the pastor to defend me. Amen. And maybe you understand that. Maybe you don't. I'm just trying to explain to you that's why I do it. Because of the fact that when people, look, if people, and if these guys get mad at me because I'm calling them out on their porn addiction, you know, let me explain something to you how you can stop that, okay? Make every video you want about Pastor Jimenez. I mean, make fun about me being short, make fun about me being brown, make fun about me being whatever you want to make fun of, go for it. You won't get a response from me. But when you start messing with our church people, I'm going to start calling you out. And you say, well, that's not right. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I just feel like that's what I should do. Because I don't want our church people to feel like their pastor doesn't have their back. Like some fool can just make all sorts of false accusations about them and nothing's going to be said from this side. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just telling you that's where I'm at. I've prayed about it. I've thought about it. I'm sorry if it makes it not go away, but I don't want to not defend our church people. If someone wants to make foolish accusations of me, I'll leave it alone as long as it's not affecting, you know, my ability to pastor here or, you know, if you're talking about my qualifications as a pastor, obviously I have to deal with those things. One time I had somebody trying to accuse me of stealing. They were accusing me of stealing money from the church, and it's like, no, that never happened, all right? You know, so I just want you to understand those things because I just want to explain that. You know, because sometimes people think like, well, why do you bring it up? I bring it up because I want to defend our church people. I'm not saying that's right. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's wrong. That's just where I'm at. Let me end with this thought. Go to Proverbs 26:20. Let me say this. Actually, let me just give you something real quickly in regards to speech in general. We've been talking about gossip, but let's just talk about, move away from gossip for a minute and just talk about speech in general, just when you're talking to people. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I've said this before, but I haven't said it a lot lately from the pulpit. We try to teach our children this, but this is just a good, I learned this from someone, I don't remember who, but a good rule of thumb when it comes to your conversations, if you ever are asking yourself, should I be talking about this? Is this something I should be talking about? These are three questions that you should ask yourself. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Now look, you should never say something that's not true. Sometimes you have to say things that are not kind, but they're necessary. You know, sometimes you always have to say things that are true. Sometimes it's not necessary. It may be true, but it's not necessary. I don't need to say it. So, you know, just for to put a guard between here and here, ask yourself, as the words are coming out of your mouth, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Just when it comes to speech in general, Proverbs 26, look at verse 20, we'll finish right here. Proverbs 26:20. You say, why deal with gossip? Why is gossip such a big deal? Why even preach a whole sermon on it? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. If we have a church full of people that are busy working their jobs, working with their families, working for the Lord, and they're not going about as a talebearer, they're not going around as a busybody trying to pull information out, tell secrets, uncover secrets, discover. If we could have a church that there's never any gossip, that everyone is asking themselves before they begin to say something, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? If we could have that type of church, you know, there would never be any strife in our church. She said, why preach on it? Because I just want to help our church people. And honestly, you say, are you struggling with gossip in the church? Absolutely not. These are the best times to preach the sermons when they're about things like this, when there's no problem. Because I can just get up and say what I want to say, and I don't have to like, well, there's actually this one situation that people are gossiping about right now. So look, we don't have any issues with it, but just keep this in your heart and keep this in your mind. Because at the end of the day, gossip hurts people. It hurts people and it hurts relationships. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for these principles in Scripture that we can learn about gossip and talebearing. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be people that are just working and minding our own business and just loving our families and loving you. And Lord, I pray that you would bless just this congregation. Help us to always be people that are leaning on mercy, that are trying to show love and seeking love. And when we find out information about people that maybe we shouldn't even know, we just choose to conceal that matter. We choose not to talk about it. And Lord, also help us to be the church that doesn't cover sin, that when something's being done that needs to be dealt with, that we'll go to those who it affects, we'll go to those who have the authority over it, and we'll deal with it. And we'll keep everything in the light. We love you, Lord. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.